Outside Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, this is one of my favorite times every week. We just we have this little confab here we call the Grand Council. Hey, Copper, get that Grand Council sound effect ready because I'm going to call the roll here and see if we have a quorum, which I believe we do. But I am joined by brethren in radio. So our own Dale Jackson, program director guy, morning show guy, WVNN guy, are you present? Dale Jackson, stand at ease. Thank you for being present. All right. From FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state in Mobile, Baldwin County's area, Jeff Poor, are you present?
I am present.
You indeed is present. Well, I pronounce a quorum. Copper, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right, here we go. Grand Council, you know the rules, fellas. We ping each other with questions. We don't always agree on the answers, but we love each other nonetheless when it's over. So I'm starting, because I know how sensitive he is, I'm starting with Dale Jackson. Dale!
Oh, my Lord, how great. What a super exciting day. Okay. Here's my question for you guys. Okay. I talked to Terry Collins this morning, and we were having a conversation about, is there any way anyone in the Alabama legislature can take a slight move away from no abortions, no exemptions, none of this stuff in the Alabama legislature? She gave me very non-committal answers, yeah. And I don't have a problem with that because I don't think that there really is much wiggle room here. Do you think there is any wiggle room? Will we, in the next legislative session, see members of the legislature, this super pro-life Alabama constitutional amendment confirming we're a pro-life state legislature, do you see them making any movement towards maybe some exemptions or 6-week, 8-week, 12-week, whatever? Or have they won and they're just going to say, we've won, now what are you going to do about it?
Jeff, you first.
I think we're 5-10 years away from something like that even being a possibility. Got to see how this abortion ban impacts society in Alabama. Does it create some unintended consequences? What's going to happen? But for now, I don't think there's any way the legislature is going to entertain this idea. Every time I talk to a member that's not Terry Collins or Nathaniel Ledbetter, they run from the question, or they say, heck no, we litigated this, we had a very vociferous debate about it, we're not interested in it. So that lends me to believe that there's just no room for that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't disagree with the idea that maybe 5 or 10 years from now, a different group may find the need, which I don't agree there's a need, but the need to do something different. But I think they also, to add to what Jeff just said, I think they would not only have some splaining to do to all of the pro-life advocates who have been working with them for years, but they would also have some splaining to do why they just passed a bill and then came back and amended the bill even though they had won on the bill. That would make no sense in the big picture. Your question, Dale, what do you think?
I think you guys are right. There's just no reason for them to do it. I don't think there's going to be any political pressure. Obviously, the media will flip out on them and they'll do their thing. But I think amongst the electorate, you guys are right. Look, the electorate wanted this. 55% female, I think, in a recent election, and they codified a pro-life constitutional amendment. I mean, what is the incentive for them to come around? And I say that working against my own position, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's like Tom Brady leading the team to the Super Bowl win and then taking points off the board. Why would he do that? I don't see it happening. All right, I'll take the next one. So Birmingham's hosting the World Games, kind of cool. I really haven't been tracking it great, but I do know there's like several hundred world athletes here for different events, and it's a good thing for the city of Birmingham. I'm glad for them. I just found an article this morning and covered it a moment ago before y'all came on. The city of Irondale was asked by Birmingham, could you provide additional law enforcement to help with security? Except that the contract required the city of Irondale to adopt Birmingham's gender equity hiring policies.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask y'all to comment. I just want to hear your thoughts on this. And So Dale, you laughed. I'm going to you first. What do you think, man?
Beggars can't be choosers. Okay, that's it right there. If you want some help, Don't tell me how I have to help you, because Irondale said, no thanks, furthering the divide there in Birmingham. And I think we all know that if you look at Birmingham and how their cities have been unable to work together, and look up here in North Alabama, how these cities have worked together, you see the benefit of being able to cooperate on all sorts of different things. I know I'm going a little deeper than we probably should here, but no. I think that's a big problem with this. And I this is indicative of that. Everybody hates Birmingham, right?
Well, I agree, and I'll get to you in a second, Jeff. But that's part of the thing is the left never seems to understand that when you thrust yourself into someone else's arena and get in their personal space, it doesn't always work out real well. And Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is the most Birmingham story ever, because the last 50, 60 years, it has been all these enclaves, all these municipalities at each other's throats, the annexation wars, the water wars, everything. And Birmingham is always kind of one of the evil villains in these stories. But yes, Birmingham trying to throw its weight around is no surprise. And it's not working out for them. I mean, Birmingham 60 years ago, I mean, there's a lot of other things that went on in those last 60 years, but it's just not the juggernaut it once was.
No. But I'll tell you right now, too, in the legislature, whenever local bills were coming up and they were dealing with local bills on the floor of the Senate, if there was one specific to Birmingham, we all sat up in our chairs and paid attention, because there's no telling what it was going to be. All right, Jeff Rowe, your question, bud.
The unfortunate story about the Bibb County Sheriff's Deputy that got killed in the line of duty, Brad Johnson, and this guy that was the suspect, Austin Patrick Hall, being out, and Steve Marshall sent out a list yesterday of everything this guy had done in the last 10 years or whatever, and there's no reason to think this guy should have been out on the streets in any way, shape, or fashion. My friend Paul DeMarco thinks that they need a special session, and they need to start closing some of these loopholes and keep these guys off the street, because can't have another policeman die in the line of duty. What do you think? How serious is this? Is this a one-off, or does it just seem to be like we're hearing about these guys in the line of duty dying about once a month now? Do we need something to happen sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about a special session. Unless they want to add it to a call, because they're going to have a special anyway this summer about budget issues. But I will say it needs to be dealt with, because I do not recall anything about work release being so lenient. And the idea that you can literally have a record like that guy had and still qualify for work release boggles my mind. I remember when I first got elected, Sue Bell Cobb, who was the Chief Justice Democrat, very liberal, she literally, if she only came up to my chin, she was a little short lady, and she came up to me and she put her finger in my face one day after a hearing and said, "Senator, you need to," and it was basically about weakening the laws and being soft on crime. And I said, she goes, "What are you going to tell your people?" I said, "Well, what am I going to tell my people when a crime happens because we were too soft on criminals and they came back out on the street?" And she just stared at me and turned around and walked off. Something does have to be done about some of these. It's got to tighten up. Dale?
Yeah, Sue Bell Cobb's a quitter. She literally gave up in the middle of the term. Absolutely ridiculous. But the fact that she was like, "Hey, how come you won't be softer on crime?" It's like, no one's ever won an election being softer on crime. And I'm sorry, the people don't want that. Black, brown, or white, they don't want that. When these people get released, they're not going to live in Sue Bell Cobb's neighborhood. Okay, that's not what they're going to do. They're going to go terrorize the people they originally terrorized, and they're going to have other problems. This guy was out on work release and escaped.
Yeah.
And then they said, "Oh, yeah, good time. We'll let him off on good time." I mean, it's just an absolute disaster. It is an absolute disaster here. If they go back in, I suggest that they do go and say, "Okay, we're going to put this into the call," because why not? Why not give a distraction from the money stuff they're going to do? This would be a good one, and it would be an appropriate one. I'll tell you this, Steve Marshall, this guy over the last couple of weeks, he is everywhere doing everything, and he is just hitting home run after home run after home run politically.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And, I mean, he's right. Don't get me wrong. He's right on everything he's doing, but it's also a home run politically.
Yep, I agree. And I would love to see the legislature recognize that if Governor Ivey is going to offer occasional leadership, but the Attorney General is going to offer consistent leadership, then maybe they should rally around some of the things he wants to do and work with him. Anyway, a thought. All right, fellas, good breaking point. First round of the Grand Council already over. Copper, let's go ahead and move to the break. We will take this break and be right back with my brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, the Grand Council, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going back now to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and Dale Jackson right here with me at WVNN. All right, fellas, round two of the Grand Council. I think we're back to you, Mr. Dale.
All right, Mo Brooks sent a letter this week saying, hey, nice request you got there. Sure suck if someone didn't follow it to the January 6th committee. Are they going to pursue him any further, or are they just going to drop it because he's told him, hey.
And because he's not going to get elected to the U.S. Senate now. So I think he's a little bit off their target list, because I think this January 6th commission is more about targeting people that don't fit the narrative of what they want to see in D.C. than it is about getting to the truth of the insurrection. So, you know, whether they will or not, I doubt it. I think it's very unseemly to see members of Congress at war with each other, like Swalwell filing suit against him. So I'm of the opinion they're going to kind of slow roll for a while and then not really care anymore. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm sort of same place with you. It would be weird to have a congressional committee subpoena a fellow member of Congress, number one. But number two, I think it's just they can't go after him. I think he's going to be able to run out the clock. You know, here we are. It's July 7th. We know that this Democrat majority is not long for this world. Look how long Steve Bannon held him off, or the Peter Navarro, et cetera. I just don't think they're going to have enough time and the energy to really pursue Mo Brooks aggressively. I think what they wanted was him to rat out Trump for something as an act of revenge, but clearly that's not what is going to happen.
That's a great point. And didn't Bannon subpoena members of the January 6th commission to his own lawsuit?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's a clown show. And then once the Republicans take over, this is toast. So I don't know what the resolution is here.
Your question, Dale, what do you think?
I don't think they actually want him there. I think they just want the headlines that they subpoenaed him. Because yep. If they wanted him there, they could have got him in public, just like they claim they want to do. But I think he'd eat him up, and they know it. So they just decided, we'll just do a little show here and then move on. That's what I think.
And they watched how he stuffed Swalwell in his attempts. Right. So, yeah. All right. I'm the next question, I believe. So I'm trying to choose among my list here. But let me just ask you this one. So years ago, 2011, we passed House Bill 56, which was Alabama's immigration law stand. You know, we were one of the first states, I said it earlier, to take a stand against the federal government's, inability to enforce its own immigration laws. And a lot of that got, dealt with in court. Some of it went away. Some of it's still in effect. But, I mean, today you've got Arizona signing something into place very similar. You've got Texas governor, literally while three of us are talking on the air, it broke that the Texas governor is authorizing his National Guard to interdict and return people to the border. You've got counties in Texas declaring an invasion, which gives them legal status, they believe. So are other states going to join in? Or are we going to see states beginning to take action against Biden's border policies? Jeffro, you first.
Well, they bring back the old HB 56, right?
Yeah. And
yeah. I mean, why not? Why not give it a shot? It seemed to work pretty well for the short time it was in effect. Wasn't the problem there that Luther Strange, the attorney general at the time, didn't want to go the full mile there? And I don't think big business in this state, I don't think Alpha, the big mules and planters, wanted anything to do with that law. And that, for that reason, that's kind of, that thing died on its own sword because they just didn't want to deal with it. But now it's a new day. So if suddenly Texas starts doing this, then why not Alabama?
Dale?
I think you win in a different way, the way KIV has kind of already done it. I sent troops to the border. I mean, that's sort of what she's going to do. instead of passing our own laws. Texas is fighting the good fight, so I sent them some troops and some lemonade. I think that's what we're going to do. and I don't think we'll see anything like that come out of this legislature. Because there's other ways they can win their political points.
But it was special lemonade. All right. So we got about a minute and a half. Jeff Rowe, you got a quick question?
Yeah. John Merrill prided himself on being the election integrity guy of Alabama. We've had so far, and it's not over yet till November, but we've had a pretty, a bad election cycle with just getting the redistricting in place. Is John Merrill's legacy tarnished by all of this or not?
Only if you're not paying attention to the details, because I really do believe that what happened was not necessarily on his watch per se. I think it was registrars not doing their job well, local officials that are archaic and they're, you know, using paper maps with stubby pencils, and then you combine that with the ridiculousness of getting all the data to them so late to get the district redrawn. I don't know that we can blame that on Merrill per se, but there might be some who would, Dale.
Yeah, I tend to agree. That's going to be hard to peg John Merrill with this. This came up behind him and kind of surprised him. And I don't think that this is something that he was that involved in. His legacy will be John Merrill, the guy who was a slick talker, knew how many people were registered, had relatively uneventful stuff. Different lines drawn here and there in all these different county registrar things. It's kind of hard for him to be the butt of that.
Close it, Dale. 10 seconds.
No, I think it depends on what he does to remedy the situation, and that is what it rests on, so we'll have to wait and see.
Good round. All right, fellas, appreciate you. As always, the Grand Council, FM Talk 106.5 from Mobile, Jeff Poor, and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN, and me, the Grand Council, on Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back, and the phone lines are going to be open. Let's have some fun. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.